Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for pushing that pause button to Edge Got In, to your mind, your will, and those crazy emotions. How's it going for you out there in our school? We've had 1 week since our last podcast that we covered on pride, and there was 33 examples that you know that you're hijacked by pride, which is on a document that you can find at edgegotin.com. Wonderful Lenten reflection, by the way. In the Lenten season or out, because we tend to be hijacked by pride pretty easily out there. There are so many high, shiny objects that we place our attention, time, and focus on that slither in and steal us from that place of humility at the foot of the cross. So this journey on our series, in the series that we're in today, began several podcasts ago. And if you haven't started with that original podcast, highly recommend you check it out. You don't have to listen to it in order to get something from today's podcast, because God's huge on bringing the rose in the midst of thorns in life and the rainbow in the midst of the storm. So he can produce anything good if you're attentive to gain something out of today's podcast. However, highly recommend that you follow the series. And it began with a podcast entitled Four Hidden Idols That Jesus Wants to Drive Out of Your Life. And then the following podcast after that in the series, we broke down those four idols, and we're in the fourth idol today. The first one was how to be free from the idol of insecurity, placing your security in anything but God. Second one was how to be free from attachments. Last week's podcast was how to be free from the idol of pride. And today's podcast is the last in this series of five podcasts, how to be free from the idol of greed. That's a good one. Many times we think we understand greed, and it comes up and gives us that illegal hook kick to the head, knocks us out in the ring, and sabotages our relationships with ourselves, with God, and with other people. So hold on to your britches, my friends, because this is a good one. And I'm sure that there's some mighty work that God desires to do in your life in this area of greed. I know he's working on me daily in this specific topic. The Edge Got In podcast is the voice of the Emotional Intelligence in Christ Project. If you haven't joined our community over there, we invite you to check it out and join us. We send out a tip on how to become the boss of your emotions pretty much bi-monthly. And the definition of emotional intelligence in Christ is basically the activation, power of the Holy Spirit within you to help you discern and manage your emotions and behaviors in a way that honors God. And all of these idols that we're exploring have emotions that are attached to them. And when we give more authority to what's going on outside of us and our desire to be approved by the outside world, accepted, loved, esteemed, all of that, we rise and fall very easily depending upon how the world judges us. And our desire at Edge Got In is to champion your human potential in Christ. How? By empowering your inner game with Jesus. And part of that, big part of that, is mastering your emotions. So check us out at emotionalintelligenceinchrist.com. There's a 6-week study guide. I know there's a lot of groups that are doing that. That's wonderful. Great to hear the feedback on that. There's an original book, Emotional Intelligence in Christ, as well as a course and assessments. The Edge Got In podcast main site has a one sheet that there are many groups that are actually taking the podcast and creating their own small group Bible studies. This is an excellent 5-session Bible study for that, for those groups out there. And you can capture your learnings with the one sheet under each of the podcasts located at edgegodin.com, as well as any resources that go along with each of the podcasts. So without further ado, let's jump in to this very powerful topic. And this is a game changer that Jesus desires to set us free from. The serpent of greed. Holy Spirit, we know that without your grace and guidance, wisdom, discernment to see how greed is manifesting in our lives, just starts with a small seed, Lord, that's fueled by selfishness. And we know that it's actually selfishness that fuels all of the idols that we've covered so far. So give us the grace to overcome ourselves, to, as C.S. Lewis says, not to think less of ourselves, but to think of ourselves less. We can't do this life without you, Lord. Give us the grace to be free from these four idols of insecurity, of attachment, of pride, and of greed, so that we can run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. In your most precious name we pray, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. How to be free from the idol of greed. The last of the four idols that Jesus desires to drive out of your temple, just as he drove out the money lenders and the people that were hijacked by things of the world in the physical temple, we are now his temple, my friends. And he desires to drive these things out so that we can be free. One of the foundational verses at Edge God In ministry is Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the idol of insecurity, attachment, pride, and greed. At the end of today's podcast, you'll learn what greed is and how it ruins relationships with God and people around us and yourself. So let's begin by exploring greed in the context of the four passions that Jesus was tempted by, unsuccessfully, by the devil. You can find it in many different places in the gospel. I'm referencing Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. You'll see four different areas that in the conversation that Satan tries to throw in front of Jesus to get him to bite, right? Power, possessions, popularity, and passion. Power is greed for control. Power over others is weakness disguised as strength. Possessions is greed for things that make me feel better, make you feel better, that we think we need in order to have status, in order to be enough. Popularity, that's greedy for the time and attention of other people, whether it's in likes, whether it's in inclusion, being included in invites, in meetings, gatherings. Popularity, you can have the whole world, Satan says, if you bow down and worship me. No, no, thank you. I shall worship only God. And the fourth passion is basically following your desires. I get a desire for something. And the more we get that desire, and that fuels attachments, and once we get that which we desire, it's quickly swallowed up by the fear of losing it. Aha. So Satan traps us there. Perhaps that's you today, my friend. What is it that you're giving your time, attention, and focus to more than your relationship with God and the people around you? It usually comes in the form of following your passions, the greed, which is never satisfied. I need something in order to know that I'm enough, that I have value, that I have worth. It's Stuff Mart. We used to watch VeggieTales, and there was a little clip from VeggieTales, which is a children's show. I thought it was just so fun. I think there was a tomato and a cucumber in it, and a blueberry. And there was this one show on greed. They did an excellent job coming up with these characters, but it was all about Stuff Mart, not enoughness. And that's the face of greed. Not enough attention, not enough time from other people, not enough recognition, acknowledgement. So how does greed show up for you today? What does that look like for you? You know that you're hijacked by one of these idols when a strong emotion shows up. So greed has three friends that will destroy your life by stealing your peace. Envy, jealousy, and comparison. So pause for a moment and think about the last week. When did you give free rent between your two ears to any thoughts of envy? I want what you have. Or jealousy. I'm afraid that you might take away something I have. Or I might not be good enough to hold on to something that I have and think I need in order to know that I'm enough. Or perhaps it was comparison that fuels envy and jealousy. That's kind of the archway through which envy and jealousy walk into the back door, all led forth by greed. And Satan uses these and use them with Jesus to try to snag Jesus. And he's continuing to rinse and repeat, my friends. He doesn't do anything new. He can't create anything new. So he's just using what's already created and twisting it to produce these negative feelings, emotions that spill out into behavior and sin. And God desires to free us from that. It's doing those things that are against the best interests of the highest good that God has for our lives. He tempted Jesus unsuccessfully. How's he doing in your life with greed? How does it show up for you? Many times it shows up in lust, craving, and boasting. In 1 John 2:16, it says, "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the cravings of the eyes and the boasting of what one has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world." Cravings, lust, and boasting. Another version simply says the desires of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the pride of this life comes not from the Father, but from the world. So, what below-the-line behavior? Behavior that does not make God recognizable in your life is showing up for you. Just think of you doing life in the last week or two. When were you spun? By your emotion. Your emotion is your body's response to your thought life. It's giving free rent to envy, jealousy, and comparison. Jesus desires to set you free. It truly is. Greed is never satisfied, never. It's like a spoiled child, and it continually cries out for more, more recognition, acknowledgement, status, power, popularity, things to satisfy its current desire. And the more you feed it that which it desires, the more it wants. The result? Discontentment. Discontentment is the ramification of greed. How are you feeling in the area of contentment in your life these days? Godliness with contentment is great gain, as 1 Timothy 6:6 says. And this is coming from great sources of people that went with and without very often, more without than with. As Paul says in Philippians 4:11 through 13, he says that he's learned the secret of being content in all situations. There is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into this world so that we can take nothing out of it. If we have food and clothes, we'll be content with that. For the love of money is the root of all evil, as Paul declares. Now, what is the solution? It's really guarding our hearts, my friend. And he ends, the love of money is the root of all evil. So much envy, jealousy, comparison comes from the root of money. I don't have enough. I don't have enough of the things that money can buy, or enough of the experiences that money can buy. This is where Satan slithers around and trips up and robs us of peace that passes all human understanding. There was a wonderful dissertation, short dissertation on the love of money by Saint Francis of de Sales, and I'm going to read it to you today, parts of it, simply because I love the metaphor that he uses in this. And truly, the solution for greed comes from Matthew 5:3, which says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven."
the poor in spirit, meaning that they know they don't have anything without God. And they hold very loosely to any possessions, realizing that your money is not your own, it's God's, to be used for his glory, to be used to help people in need, and to be a good steward of it. Yes, he desires your joy as well. But I remember hearing someone say one time, give some, save some, spend some. So whenever you're blessed with money, give some, first and foremost, save some, and spend some. So there's a balance with that. And we are called to live in integrity, keep the strife out of our life, and to live a life of surrender to God. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Accursed, on the other hand, are the rich in spirit, for hell is their portion. He is rich in spirit who has his riches in his spirit, or his spirit in his riches. He is poor in spirit who has no riches in his spirit, nor his spirit in riches. The halcyons, or hal it's halcyon, the halcyon bird. They're known as the kingfisherman bird. The halcyon form their nest like an apple and leave only a little opening at the top. They build them on the seashore and make them so firm and impenetrable that when the waves sweep over the strands, the water can never get into them. But keeping always uppermost and following its motion, they remain in the midst of the sea, upon the sea, and masters of the sea. Your heart ought to be in this manner, open only to heaven, and impenetrable to riches and all transitory things. Whatever portion of them you may possess, keep your heart free from the least affection toward them. Keep it always above them. And in the midst of riches, let it hold them in contempt, and you be their master. Do not suffer this heavenly spirit to be captive of earthly goods. Let it be always their master, but never their slave. Be like the halcyon. Build a nest of protection, my friends, around the attempts of Satan to trick you, trickery, into greed. You're not enough. You need this in order to know you have value. You need to just go for one more level to know you're successful. So, what are the voices that Satan uses to hijack you into that place of not enoughness? I need more. I know I've been hijacked by this many times. I've played that greed game that it's never enough. One more magazine, one more article, one more book. It shows up differently for all of us. However, if you're a human being, I am confident you know and have encountered greed in your life. My question to you today, my coaching question, my friends, is how is it showing up for you today and interfering, downgrading, and preventing you from godly connection with God Himself, with yourself, and other people around you? Philippians 4, 11 through 13. I've learned the secret of being content in every situation. Remember that greed breeds discontentment. I know what it is to have little, I know what it is to have plenty. In all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed or going hungry, of having plenty or being in need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Perhaps you've memorized that verse. It's a very popular verse. That was one that I used. I remember there was one Christmas, my kids all pitched in. It was the first Christmas I was diagnosed with cancer, and I loved a horseback ride. And they pitched in and bought me a Western saddle. And on the back of the saddle, it has a little plaque that says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. We gain a lot by seeing the context through which that verse comes. Because prior to that verse, Paul is speaking about contentment. That whether I have plenty or I have jack squat, I've learned the secret of being content, hungry or nothing, because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So what is it today for you that is fueling any little portion of greed, not enoughness? Where are you feeling less than today? Where are you feeling that if I only have this, more of that, more time and attention from this person, more accolades, higher position, more things? Build your relationship with the Lord. This is the solution to greed. Like the halcyon, the king fisherman bird, only one opening to heaven, so that you live in the world, yet you do not seek the things in the world, to know that you are enough and that you matter. My friend, you matter. Right where you're at, you lack nothing with God. Insecurity fuels attachment, which fuels pride and greed. Insecurity, again, that was our first breaking down of the four idols, is placing your security in anything but God. Attachments is that emotional state of clinging due to the belief without one thing or a situation, an outcome, you cannot feel successful, happy enough. And pride is putting oneself above God and others. Solution to pride is confess the pride as quickly as possible. Take the lowest seat and encourage and build others up. We learned last podcast how to be free from the idol of pride. And today, we end on greed, a selfish desire, an insatiable selfish desire for more. We are called, my friends, to follow Jesus' lead. And when he was tempted in the desert, he chose God's will to serve God alone above any of those shiny objects that were coming in front of him. May we have the grace to do the same. The solution is to build this hedge of protection between you and the world. Be a halcyon, the halcyon bird. So you only have one small opening. So the only place you can look is up to heaven, to God. Fix your eyes on Jesus, my friends. He is the author and perfecter of your faith. So as with all of these idols that Satan uses to separate us from our awareness of how much God loves and adores us, can find their solution, and I'm particularly focused on greed today, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, which we mentioned last at the end of last podcast. If my people, and that's you, my friend, and me, which are called by my name, shall one, humble themselves, two, pray, three, seek my face, four, turn away from their wicked ways, from comparison, envy, jealousy. It's the 10th commandment. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And in this case, we're talking about you, the land of you. First and foremost, in order to heal our land outside of us, first place to start in transformation is heal the land within. To be healed from insecurity, attachments, pride, and greed. Then we'll be able to see clearly. To be an agent of change. And to make God recognizable in this world. He will lead you into that land of freedom that Christ has set you free for, and restore it to its original owner, your maker. On a side note here, yet very valuable note, God's greatest grace is experienced when we fail, by the way. His greatest grace is experienced when we fail in life and allow him to put back the pieces into something more beautiful than had the failure never occurred. This is a job for Jesus, to be free from insecurity, attachment, pride, and greed. We are not called to go about this alone. my dear friend and sister in Christ, Johnny Erickson Tada, and she was in the series Don't Waste Your Suffering, and also in the podcast Practicing the Presence of Jesus with Johnny Erickson Tada. If you haven't listened to that at edgegodin.com, highly recommend you explore that as well. She put together this wonderful book called The Practice of the Presence of Jesus, based on the best-selling book by Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence of God. And there's a wonderful little reflection that really captures grace. Kintsugi is a Japanese method for repairing broken pottery. Rather than conceal the lines of a fracture, the potter incorporates the crack into a new beautiful vessel in which all the broken places are visible and lovingly accented with gold. What was broken becomes a glorious work of art that treats the breakage as part of the history of the vessel, rather than something to disguise or discard. Golden joinery. A kintsugi is called a golden joinery. Reflects the artful skill of the potter. God does kintsugi on his people all the time. He's doing it on you. He's doing it on me. We get hijacked into insecurity, attachment, pride, greed, jealousy, comparison, envy. When our lives are shattered by a terrible trial, usually that shatters us, and he puts us back together in a way that does not disguise our injuries, but incorporates them into our personal story of redemption. Our lives become richer and more attractive than they were before the trial. It's what redemption through Christ does. Romans 8:28, God works all things together for an ultimate good to those who love him, who are called according to his purposes. 1 John 2:15 through 17, do not love the world or anything in the world. When we love the world, greed takes center stage, as does insecurity, attachments, and pride. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of riches, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires are passing away, my friends, but those who do the will of God live forever. Let Jesus drive out greed, that selfish desire for more. More time, more attention, more possessions, more popularity, more items to fulfill passions. Allow Jesus to drive them from your life today. And your relationships with yourself, with God, with others, will return to a place of contentment. Discontentment flows from a selfish desire for more. Contentment lies with Christ. Greed also breeds resentment. I resent you for not giving me what I want or think I deserve. And remember the ordinary activities of the devil. He's constantly trying to deceive us. You need more in order to be enough. Divide us, envy, jealousy, comparison. Divert our attention from God. Focus on the golden calf instead of him, which leads to discouragement, discontentment. Replace any desire you become aware of that's fueled by greed. I want, I need to have, to own, possess, with gratitude for what you have. This is another solution. Live a grateful life, my friends. First solution we talked about was build your relationship with the Lord like the Halcyon, the king fisherman. Only one opening to God. God, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to have this? If you don't want me to go for this, I keep my eyes fixed on you. I'm okay with or without this. And then gratitude. And then there's a third solution I'm going to suggest here, and this is from neuroscience, bringing in a little stress management technique. It's a neurolinguistic programming technique called the more technique. And you state your undesirable state of being. The more jealous I am of this person, the more grateful I become in the gifts that God's given me. So you link your undesirable state with your desired state of being. So the more I desire to have whatever it is today for you, what do you desire to have more of today? Take a moment to think about that. The more I desire to have more likes, attention, power, control, the more grateful and content in Christ I become. Grateful for what God has blessed me with. So homework moving forward here, for the next week or 2 weeks, each night, declare 3 to 4 things you're grateful for before you fall asleep. Write them down. First, take a moment, even before even thinking about the things that you're grateful for, identify a greed-fueled behavior in your day. So at the end of today, just go before the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, show me where I was greedy today, where there was a behavior that was fueled by greed, a selfish desire for more of something, even if it was someone's attention for a certain outcome, whatever it is. Give me the grace to tune into a greed-fueled behavior in my day. And then second, praise God and thank God for 3 to 4 blessings you may be overlooking in your pursuit of an unmet desire. Praise God for that. So this concludes the 5-part series that started with 4 hidden idols that Jesus wants to drive out of your life. We covered over the last 4 podcasts how to be free from insecurity, how to be free from the idol of insecurity, how to be free from the idol of attachment, pride, and today we ended with how to be free from the idol of greed. Bishop Barron wrote something that I'll end with here that pulls this all together. We exist, breathe, live, think, because our existence, our breath, our life, and our mental capacity have been willed into being by the power of God. Your life is not about you. It is indeed your life, but your life has been given by another and exists finally for his purpose. As Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:20, the power that works within us is able to accomplish abundantly more than we can ever ask or imagine. The thrill of the surrendered life, the thrill of the spiritual life, is to surrender to that power, that will, which may necessarily take us where we do not want to go. The biblical authors insist in season and out that as long as we rest our lives on our own egos that produce, in the context of our last podcast, that produce insecurity, attachment, pride, and greed, only when we can say with Paul, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me, can we experience true liberation. Only when we know in our bones that our lives are not about us, only when we acknowledge that there is a power that works within us that is able to accomplish abundantly more than we can ever ask or imagine, can we be saved. Come to terms, my friends, with your own weaknesses that decenter us and set us free from God. So we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, since God is making his appeal through us on our behalf, on the behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him who to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we may become the righteousness of God. God bless you, and I look forward to our next podcast. Enjoy your gift of life today. And we're going to be taking a little bit of a 2-week space here so that you can catch up if you haven't listened to the 5 podcast series. Take these 2 weeks to explore them, starting with 4 hidden idols that Jesus wants to drive out of your life and the other podcasts that break down those 4 idols. Outshine the darkness, my friends. God bless you and enjoy the journey in Christ.